Hello everyone and welcome to Journey to Success Radio, a show featuring people and companies who are making a positive contribution to the world. This show will help you learn how to apply success principles in every area of your life so that you can make the most out of your skills and talents and accomplish more of your goals. To find out more about the show, please visit www.journeytosuccessradio.com.
Hello.
Hello, Michael Watt here.
Hey, Michael. Jim Shorkey, how are you?
All right, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good, good. It's actually Jim, J-I-M.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Jim. No worries. So we're waiting for Peter, and I think Tom's going to join us as well. So.
Well, it looks like he's already in here.
Okay.
Are you logged in as Tom Cunningham?
I might be. I'm not sure of that. I'm calling from my cell phone, but I might be logged in under Tom's name. I don't know that.
All right. Well, that would explain that. And here comes Peter.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Peter. This is Jim Shorkey. How are you?
Good. How are you, Jim?
Doing well. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I was just looking at your information on the internet and. Was looking at Brad Sugars. Looks like he's written a lot of books.
A few.
Yeah. So
I think he's at 15 or 16.
Yeah. I never heard of the books themselves. This name I think sounds familiar to me, but the books did not. They kind of look like the 1 Minute Manager books, kind of that sort of a format. But Michael had jumped on before I got a chance to. So look at the book closer, but anyways, that's okay. I think Tom said he was going to join us, but I'm not sure if that's the case or not. So, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to start anything here or not.
Yeah, Jim, why don't you get started? I was under the impression Tom said he was going to join us later in the conversation. So,
understood. Okay. So, I guess the best way to start this is, Michael, why don't you tell us something about yourself, and then Peter, you can tell us something about yourself, and I can talk about something about myself, and then we'll start asking questions.
Sure, I don't mind jumping in. I got 12 brothers and sisters, so I'm used to stepping up and talking as quickly as possible so I get a word in edgewise. All before car seats, by the way, so different generation. My name is Michael Watt. I'm affectionately referred to in certain circles as Mr. Long Island. It really started out as a kind of a goof when I was running something called longisland.com. But it's something that I'm looking to parlay into a brand where I focus on working with small businesses and entrepreneurs and young professionals really looking to embrace an entrepreneurial mindset to their careers. And my latest endeavor is something called the Lynx Organization, and that's Lynx spelled L-I-I-N-C-S, which is short for Long Island Incorporated, because I honestly believe anybody in their 20s and 30s who lives on Long Island needs to incorporate themselves, if not literally, then figuratively, because they own their careers and they're the CEOs of their careers. And of course, when you're incorporated, it sounds fun and glamorous and whatnot, but there are a lot of things to take into consideration. So that's why I'm working with Tom and Jim and looking to learn from Peter, because unfortunately the best way to learn is through failure, and I guess the second best way to learn is from other people.
Yeah, and I would say the best way to learn is from other people. Well, I should preface that, other successful people. You know, I really believe that trial and error is a horrible strategy, and so many people talk that way and recommend that way. And you know, I find that the absolute best way to become successful is to find somebody who is already successful and just pick their brain, and they're going to give you a few ideas, and then somebody else gives you a few ideas, and pretty soon you're on your way. But trial and error is a recipe for bankruptcy, and so I don't recommend that. I've been through trial and error, and I still don't recommend it. It's not a great idea. But so I'll just speak real quickly about myself. I am a car dealer by trade. I was involved in the car business from 1979 until 2014. Our business grew from one dealership, 40 employees, selling about 800 new and used cars per year, to when I handed it over to my children, it was selling 8,000 new and used vehicles per year, 400 employees, and it was six individual dealerships. And so I always had this ambition of wanting to really share my knowledge with the public in terms of I really felt that what I did, anybody could have done. All I did was just to copy successful people, and that's really the theme of my company, which is Results from Thinking, and it is a life success coaching company. And we talk about health, wealth, love, happiness, and spirit. So it's not like Peter, and I can read from what you do. Yours is obviously a business environment, and I'm sure it probably goes beyond that, but still seems like the focus is business, which is wonderful. You know, I do that as well, probably not nearly to the degree of success that you have. So I'm kind of new to this. I started this idea in 2014, so I'm kind of new to the game. So hoping to learn from you as well, Peter. So I'll leave it up to you to tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's hard to talk about myself, but you know, I've been in after university. I served in the military for a number of years, and I had a lot of great learnings there that really transitioned well into what I'm doing today. And I'll kind of get into that in a little bit. After the military, I joined the corporate ranks in Canada, and at one point was running about $220 million worth of the company's business that I was working for. Although my degree was in business in university, I really started to learn about business. And more importantly, it's not really about business. It's about the people in the business that are the interesting factor. And I started realizing that a lot of people may have a great idea, but lack the whether it be the knowledge or the personal wherewithal or drive to succeed. So going on in a corporate year, was with that corporation for about 8 years, and then I started my own business, and lo and behold, having known everything, I was making some of the same mistakes. And I remember about year six in the business, I said, geez, you know, this business is running me and I'm not running the business. Eventually, about 2 years later, we sold the business. And I mean, it was successful, but not super successful. I mean, made a living, looked after the kids, you know, had a steak and a beer when I wanted to type of idea. But it wasn't what I thought it could be. And the big learning was that I learned I was working in the business too much and not on the business. And although I had all the academic smarts to be able to run a great business, there was just something missing. Once we sold the business, I got recruited by another national company. And that's where I started getting some really good learnings and really started understanding what had happened or what's required. Did that for a number of years, and then finally got tired of the corporate world all the restrictions, and decided to venture out my own. So I sat around for about 3 months after leaving corporate world and kind of gazed at my navel and watched the clouds float by. And I thought, you know, how can I take all this learning from the military and on and parlay that into something that can be of benefit to myself financially and to other people financially? And I came up with Action Coach, or with coaching, searched around and eventually became an Action Coach, and then launched a coaching business. Now we've grown, we've added other businesses to it, and I have a company of about 14 people doing various activities for businesses, and I primarily focus on the executive and business coaching. What I found out with what people lack is, first of all, education. Most people going into business are really technicians. Even if you buy a franchise, they'll teach you how to make a pizza, but they won't teach you how to run a business. And then, you know, there's a marketing side and all the other aspects of business. And that's what I've been able to bring to businesses and create business success. So that's kind of a story in a nutshell. And I'll pass it back to John.
Well, real quick, how can people get a hold of you, Peter? What is your website, just so people have that information?
It's bigbizgrowth.com. That's bigbizgrowth.com.
Wonderful.
Pete, if I could jump in here, I'm very curious about this, and I've often wondered what different turns my life would have taken if I had followed up on my instincts and joined the military, out of high school, even if it was just ROTC. But, one of your favorite topics is you're talking about you control your own destiny. And if ever there was a statement that doesn't necessarily apply when you're in the military, it's controlling your own destiny. I'd be curious to see how you can, how do you see both? If you use your military training as a basis for your success, which I have a feeling has been a very important part of your success, how do you balance that, the military training versus controlling your own destiny?
Well, you control your own destiny within the career path within a military or where you want to go. It's not you join the military and they're going to path you out. When I was in the military, I did some specialized work and took a lot of training in that. And, you make the decisions to do that type of work. And, my chapter is decisive, making a decisive decision, but being fully committed. So even in the military, in any organization, you're in control of your destiny. If you're working for a large corporation and you're not getting the advancement you want, well, that's not your boss's fault, not the organization's fault. It's about you driving forward for it and going after what you want. So you are, regardless of organizationally or not, you are in control of that destiny. The military didn't come up to me and say, hey, Peter, we want to promote you tomorrow. You better get with it. I had to go out and really compete with all the other people that wanted that position in the military, or if I wanted to do a certain type of tasking or work, I had to compete for that. And it wasn't that, I've been here the longest and hey, you get this nice or this plum job. You've got to go out and get it and make everybody aware this is what I want to do. And then have the drive and the accountability to do it. So even within a military, you are controlling your own destiny.
Absolutely. And, you're controlling your own destiny no matter where you are. You can't control the weather. Of course you can't. I mean, it's raining today, for example, but you can control how you respond or react to the weather. So you're always controlling your destiny. And if you have a grumpy reaction to the weather, well, you're going to have a grumpy day. If you have a delightful reaction to the weather, you're going to have a great day. And there's two
absolutely
same
weather.
Same weather.
I think that's a great point, that regardless of your circumstances, how you process it is really what determines whether or not it's a benefit to you.
Exactly. And it's the decisions you make by controlling that destiny. It's a cloudy day. You can be gloomy along with the cloudy day, or you can be the ray of sunshine in the day. That's totally up to you. Nobody else can control that. And even if there's, we all have outside influences knocking on us all day long, whether it be a competitor in the marketplace, whether it could be a spouse that sets you off or whatever, but it's how you react to that and what you do and what determination you make that you're going to, how your day is going to go. I have this little story. I talk about a grumpy old man that lives in my house. And, I get to choose whether I want to, when I first wake up and see that guy, say, geez, do I want to be the grumpy old guy or can I be that ray of sunshine type of idea?
Hey, guys.
Is that Tom?
Yep.
Hey, Tom, you're in with Jim and Pete and Michael Watt, and we just had a fascinating segment on the military and controlling your own destiny, even though you're within a, I would guess, the epitome of bureaucracy. And it kind of ties in also what Pete says about not making excuses. I mean, you can blame your situation for anything, or you can overcome it.
You're right, Jim. As you know, I've had rheumatoid arthritis from the age of 5, and most of my joints don't move. They're in pain all the time, and a lot of people would use that as an excuse for not doing whatever they wanted to do or could do.
Well, that's, yeah, and Tom, you're to be admired for that, because when you say a lot of people, that would be, you know, probably most people, 99% of the people would cave into what you had to deal with, and I admire the heck out of you for the fact of every time you ask Tom how he's doing, he says amazing, you know, and he's in pain, you know, so I think that that's really cool.
Yeah. More of a reminder to myself than to convince other people.
I know that, but still, it does convince other people. It makes me think, I can tell you that, you know, I sometimes I'll be a baby about something because I'm reacting to the outside world. And I think about Tom Cunningham, and I think, wow, if he can do that, I can certainly overcome this little nuance. So it is very important to other people that you do that as well. It really is.
Amen. Well, I'll let you guys get back to the interview. I'll be listening in.
Great. So, you know, segueing into, for some reason I lost the call, so I had to dial back in, but I heard some talk about, one of the things that was mentioned was quit making excuses, and I don't know if you guys had already addressed that. I was only off for like 30 seconds, but can you expand on that, Peter, about quit making excuses?
Well, I mean, every situation that arrives, you can, you know, in the military, we had a fight or fight type of mentality, and you know, when the things get nasty, are you going to run or are you going to fight it out and whatever? And in business and in life, we're going to reach adversity through different points. And do you kind of just roll over and be a victim to whatever the circumstances are, or do you actually say, wait a minute, I'm in charge of my own destiny. This is not where I want to be. And stand up and, you know, kind of duke it out or come up with a new strategy to move forward. I see that a lot where, you know, in a downturn economy, and I'm in Alberta, and we've been hit pretty hard with the, because of the downturn in oil pricing. And, you know, it's interesting. When it first happened 8, 10, 12 months ago, whenever it was, a lot of businesses were going doom and gloom. Yet, I don't see a lot of change here. The business owner on the corner running their business still has to make a living and make money. The ones that capitulated were the ones that didn't have good business practices in the beginning. They're the ones that didn't diversify. And when things started going rough, they didn't make the right decisions. And they spent more of their energy blaming the, you know, whether it be the government or whatever, rather than and taking stock of where they are and moving forward. And in the military, you know, once you come out of a very tough situation, you tend to have to stop, reassess where you're at, look at the assets you do have, and always go in that forward momentum. Not come up with a bunch of excuses and say, geez, I'm just going to go hide in this little hollow here. That gets you nowhere, but, you know, dead in the end type of idea. And same in a business or in life. It's about looking at the situation, what you perhaps have been doing will not work anymore or doesn't work anymore, and what can you move forward with that? That's evolution. That's innovation. That's about constantly not thinking about, well, you know, I can't make that next phone call because I've got stuff to do. Well, okay, we all have stuff to do, but what's important to you?
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I being in the business world as a guy on the front lines, you know, I learned, and it took me a long time to learn this, but it actually is so true. So I'll just speak to your point even a little further, that there is so much opportunity in adversity. And to the point of when you really figure it out, adversity becomes your friend. And I'll tell you why, because 95% of the people in the United States of America, when faced with adversity, they cave in, they give up. So if you think about it logically, if what I just said is true, if 95% of people cave in or give up or whatever, and you don't, that means you have no competition. And so if you have the right approach to adversity, you actually have a field where there's very little competition. And so these people in Alberta, if somebody would step up and say, you know what, I'm going to conquer this market, I'm going to take advantage of this market, they would probably find that they would actually prosper during a downtime because of the fact that everybody else has just given up. And that's even going beyond what you just said, Peter, but it's so true that there really is opportunity in adversity. If you just get your head out of your you know where and start looking for it, you'll find it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I hope I'm not doing a plug. I'm not sure the rules around here, but, you know, I look at our clients, and when that started happening, we brought them in and we had a really good talk with them and say, this is a time of opportunity. And it's your choice of how you want to look at this world. You can spend your energy complaining about that the world is changing. It's going to change whether you like it or not. It is changing. Or you can take that your energy and put it into, hey, what's the next thing that I can get involved in, and what are the opportunities? And yep. Our clients really looked at that and hooked on to that, and they're going through growth modes where other companies are surviving.
Yep. Or not making it, you know, going out of business. But no, you're so right, and that's a great meeting, and whoever went to that meeting was definitely smart to be there, because the neat thing about it is if they go out and do what you tell them to do and they do go through this growth mode, well, then all of a sudden what I said earlier is correct, that there is opportunity in adversity. And then as an entrepreneur, you start to look for the adversity, say, oh geez, oh, we have another recession, great, I'm going to make a lot of money now, you know. And anybody can make money when the economy's swinging. It's a question of making money when it's not swinging. And that's great. That's a great, great meeting. Good for you guys.
You know, I used to work for somebody in the late 90s when everything was rocking and rolling with the tech bubble. The guy used to say, you know, even turkeys fly in hurricanes. And sure enough, a couple of years later, when the tech bubble burst, the turkeys came crashing down. But you're right. The fellas who, you know, stuck to their knitting and had good business practices already in place, were the only ones that survived. You know, Pete, I see you talking about creating rituals for success. You know, one of my favorite things is a commencement address given by a Navy SEAL officer. And he said, you know, if you start every day by making your bed, at least you've accomplished something. And I find that very intriguing, because now I find myself making the bed instead of my wife. But I always see that as having accomplished something. Is that what you mean by a ritual of success and just getting into daily habits? Or I was hoping you could enlighten us a little bit.
I use the words ritual because I've seen that video by that Navy SEAL guy, and he's bang on. You know, what are the certain rituals you do? You know, every morning I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I want to get a good start on the day. I'm not a guy who'll sleep in. You know, how much time do you spend in a day or a week in learning and developing your skill set? How much time do you spend on yourself, whether it be through physical fitness or meditation or whatever that may be? And you know, you could set, well, I'm going to do this today. Or you can make it part of who you actually are. And I find that rituals are the way to go about it. If you look at somebody who's fairly religious, they're very highly ritualized in their activities in doing that. And that's what I try to teach people, is get into certain rituals that fit the way you want to live, and make that part of who you are. And, you know, at 5 o'clock every morning, that's when you get up, if that's your ritual. Or is it 10 o'clock? I don't know, but I believe you got to win the day, and that starts in the morning. But, you know, when are you going to do that learning and set that in? If you're into fitness, make it a ritual that it's part of your day, part of your life. Not, oh, now I got to go work out. Oh, you know what? I'll wake up whenever. You know, all the time we go through, you know, we all through our school years, we're living more or less to kind of a calendar, which is a ritual in a sense. And, you know, in my day, we used to start off by singing O Canada, and you could go through certain steps each and every day. As soon as we become adults, we throw all that learning that we've done, those almost biomechanical things that we built in, and we throw it all away, and we start doing whatever, and then wondering why we struggle to be successful. So I really, when I work with my clients, I talk about what are the rituals that you're going to establish for yourself that keep you on track. And that's the real power. That's the real inner strength, because that comes from the heart, right? And it drives each and every day and how you do things. I don't know how to better explain it, but it's just my belief, and I believe in setting up certain rituals. You know, I get up in the morning, get out of bed, and I do a workout. That's a ritual. It's not, well, I don't feel like it today. No, part of my life is doing that.
Well, it's been said discipline is the only thing separating the life you want to lead from the life you lead, you know, and just having that discipline and the desire to do something beyond when you feel like doing it, or the drive, I should say, to do something beyond when you feel like doing it. I mean, would you say that all successful business people have that trait, that discipline?
Well, you know, I believe they do. Yeah. If they're very successful. If they don't, then they're lucky, I guess. But the business owners I know and that I look at, that I consider successful business owners, they work. And they work to a system of some sort that works for them, right? They're usually at work at a certain time. They're usually doing certain things. They continuously learn. You know, and I liken it to, you know, going back to my military career. We got up, we had to make our bed, right? Went out, if we're in garrison, we go for a morning run. Then you'd have your breakfast, and there are rituals. At night, you'd spit shine your shoes or whatever, right? And you did training, depending on where you were in the military, what were the things you did? Very ritualized, but that creates great success. And, you know, we can see that in the North American military, who have very strong rituals. They're very, very successful. And in business, like I say, the business owners that I know are very ritualized and create a lifestyle that really suits them and their family. So they don't have to worry about balance, but they work within harmony all the time and not so much, you know, a state of balance, but certainly harmony. When they're home with their family, they're home with their family. And when they're at work, they're at work. And when they're out in public, they're out in public, and they're fully engaged in whatever they do.
And you know, you mentioned, again, back to the idea of the ritual, which is phenomenal. You know, Think and Grow Rich is a book that we talk about a lot on these calls. And if you read that, if you read 13 pages every single day of Think and Grow Rich, which would be a ritual, which would probably take you, you know, 20 minutes to a half an hour. But that's what you do every day. You read these 13 pages. At the end of 12 months, you would have read that book between 12 and 13 times. And you would find that your life would change so dramatically as a result of that experience that it would be unbelievable. And so that's a ritual. That's what you're speaking of. You know, it's the same as, you know, working out for half an hour a day or an hour a day, whatever it is you choose to have be your ritual, or meditating and on. And so, I think that's really, really important that we have those rituals, whether it be in business or, you know, personally with health or, you know, family rituals. They're all vitally important. So that's a great way of putting it, Peter. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, do you think, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
You're fine.
No, it's just the ritual thing I find fascinating, in the sense that I think we may be getting away from that sort of thing, or it just seems a little old-fashioned. But really, the business basics have never changed. And you think about Think and Grow Rich being over 100 years old and still being very applicable, you know?
Yeah, you know, be careful when you say that things aren't that way anymore. If you study successful people, They're doing the same things today as successful people did 100 years ago.
Right.
So what we have is over-mediaization of, well, for example, the millennials. You have all this conversation about millennials, and it's just simply unfounded, and it's not true. If you could go back 100 years and read something about the teenagers of 100 years ago, and then fast forward to the millennials, it would be the same exact conversation. And so the millennials, but
I was going to say, going back to what Pete was saying before about thinking harmony instead of balance, I heard a great expression recently. He says, be where your feet are, meaning regardless of what you're doing, be fully engaged, because there really is no such thing as multitasking, which would be a modern day type phrase that's probably the most overrated and unjustified mode of operating. It really is focusing on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's very inefficient as well. Multitasking is very inefficient. But it was like that, again, 100 years ago, they're talking about the failed generation, and 50 years ago, the failed generation, and 20 years ago, the failed generation, and we're doing it today.
Right.
And there's a lot more mediatization of it today. But I work with millennials. My children are millennials, and they're wonderful kids, and they want to succeed, and they want to do all the things that Peter and Michael and Jim Shorkey, we all want to do. And then there's also the same 95% who, want to know what's in it for me. What are you going to do for me? And that's always been the case. 5% want to get along, and 95%, want to know, what's in it for me. What are you going to do for me? Excuse me. But, whether that number today is 94-6 or 97-3, it's a predominant number that are wanting the entitlement and a very small number that want to succeed, but that's never been any different, is my point. And so if you could elaborate further on the whole idea of balance versus harmony, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, Peter.
Well, I hear a lot of people, or especially when I first started coaching, saying, I'm looking for life balance. And, I'll illustrate this. If you put a 2x4 on end on the floor and you stand on top of it and try to stay in balance, the amount of energy that you're going to use is significant. And if you stood there for an hour, I guarantee you'd probably be pretty exhausted, right? You're spending energy trying to stay in balance on this upended 2x4. But if you're in harmony, you're not using you're not using energy negatively, you're using it positively. And I believe that, sometimes you can't get home and have supper with your family every night, God forbid, especially if that's a ritual in your family. But don't sweat it. Don't expend negative energy or your energy negatively worrying about that. It is what it is. But when you're there with your family, be totally engaged. Right? If you're at a networking event, don't be thinking about something else. Be totally engaged. When you're on a task at work or you're engaged at work, be totally engaged. And I really kind of learned that unknowingly in the military again. When I was often deployed, I had to be very present because it was very dangerous. And, I could not be thinking about a whole bunch of other stuff. I had to be totally focused in and zoned in to the environment that I was working in at the time. So when I became a coach, it's really this, work-life balance and everything else. Well, if you have a great life balance and everything's good and you decide, well, I'm not going to go to work today. I'm going to have a great day and I'm going to hang out and on a deck and watch YouTube videos and play on Facebook because that's what makes me happy. Well, that's good. You can do that for about a little while till the money runs out, and then you're just going to starve to death, right? Type of idea. So you have to have harmony in your life to say, when I'm at work, I've really got to be productive. I really have to be putting out. I don't have to go to work for 8 hours a day. I may some days be able to get away with 6, but other days I may have to put in 14. But be happy with that and don't get all stressed out about trying to manage this work-life balance idea. Just understand that this is the environment that I have to be in now, and I'm going to be 100% present, and I'm going to be positive about it.
Yep, I think that's wonderful. I think that you're 100% right on that. Hello?
Yep, I'm here. I think we covered everything. Covered everything I wanted to go over. So.
There is the idea that the world is changing. We have hit on that, but I'd like to hit on that even more stronger, from the perspective of if you could just expand on that, Peter. I'd like to hear your viewpoint on the world is changing.
Well, you talked about the millennials, and I'm with you. First of all, I think they're amazing. And again, I were one of them when I was that age, right? And, I didn't know. I didn't have a lot of experience, didn't have a lot of knowledge, and probably made a lot of dumb mistakes or did some crazy things. Well, in fact, I know I did some crazy things. But, wow, I look at the millennials today are better educated. They have more access to information than we ever had in when I was that age group, right? They are just coming out in droves. They're creating innovation in record numbers and driving productivity out of this world. They are different. They have different, they're not going to be so much 9 to 5. They're going to work when they kind of want to, and they find their own harmony and they do great work. So the world is changing. We just bought a business about a year ago here to couple onto our existing business. And we changed the whole dynamic. We went to flexible working hours. We went into a lot less rigidity. Our productivity has moved up by over 400%. And that's just listening to people and what people really want to do so they feel the harmony in their life. The world is changing. And, the idea of having bricks and mortars around an office in a traditional 8 to 5 and all that is starting to erode away. But productivity is increasing a massive amount, and that's due to technology. In my business, I keep saying, I don't need an office. I can sit on the beach and still coach. And, one day I'll try that. But, I now can be anywhere in the world, and I have clients globally that I can talk to anytime. I do not, and some clients I will never physically meet, ever. Unless you're in that country, right?
Yeah, don't you find it interesting that I'm sitting here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you're sitting, I assume, in Alberta, Canada, and you're in, I assume, on Long Island, and Tom Cunningham is in Toronto. And so, and we could be doing this via Zoom or whatever, and we can actually be looking at each other. And, to your point earlier, a few minutes ago, that back when I was 20 years old, I'm 59 years old, so when I was 20 years old, there was nothing even remotely like there. Like the cell phone wasn't even in my mind, at least, a thought. And then fast forward to 40, I'm 40 years old, and I still don't know that I had a cell phone at 40. That would be 19 years ago. If I did, it was barely. And, until recently, I didn't understand anything about Zoom or Skype or any of that stuff. But holy cow, I could, if I wanted to, I could right now set up a Skype call or a Zoom call between these four people that are on this call, and we could have a nice little call for tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And it's crazy that we can even do that, which we couldn't do. Certainly couldn't do that 20 years ago. And I just find that to be very, very interesting. And you're right. Yeah, that certainly is a change, but that would be a change that many people might be intimidated by. But the fact is when you embrace that change, it's like, holy cow, this is such a great opportunity. And I think that's what you're saying,
Absolutely. And, technology today has opened up so many worlds, and the millennials are leveraging that very well. So they're different than the status quo of companies, and organizations are really struggling getting around the idea that, this is not the way it is. And let me tell you, it is not the way it's going to be. So it's about changing and understanding it and embracing the change that's coming on in the business world and in life in general. And embracing that and going forward, it's amazing what's happening. And, it'll be so interesting where we are 10 years from now. You know, we just maybe talk 50 years from now, but boy, 5-10 years from now,
yeah,
it's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yep. And it's interesting. So while we're on the phone, I mentioned about Brad, is it Sugars, right? Brad Sugars. And I said, boy, he's written a lot of books. And I was actually on Amazon before you guys jumped on. So I'm looking at this. And so while we're on this call, I actually bought Brad Sugars' book on business coaching. I actually bought it. It's on its way. And isn't that wild? I mean, I'm sitting here. I was already kind of in that mode, and so while you were answering one of the questions, I just, you know, pushed the buy button and actually bought the book. So here I am talking to a guy from Alberta, Canada, a guy from Long Island, a guy from Toronto, and I bought a book from Amazon, which will be delivered to my doorstep in 2 or 3 days on business coaching. And who knows, I might read that book and say, holy cow, I just figured out a way to make $1 million next year based on the information that's in this book that I bought for $16.35 or whatever it was. I just find that to be fascinating. I do. It blows me away. And and that's really what we're talking about here. I think that's really cool.
Well, it's fascinating. It's great, unless you're in the brick and mortar bookstore business, which case.
Well, but you know what? The bricks and mortar bookstore business needs to change their ways. And it's interesting. Borders, they're gone. The Barnes & Noble, if you go to Barnes & Noble, it's crazy how you would think, how the hell is it? It's so busy in there. But they have a Starbucks in there, and they have people in there that are really, really nice, and you can buy books from them online the same way. And I don't know, they seem like they're doing okay. I mean, because I love bookstores. I love hard books. I love having a book in my hand. I'm old school. Now, maybe someday that's not going to be the case with the millennials, but I love my books. I do. And but at some point, Barnes & Noble is either going to make it or not make it. If they don't adapt to this changed world that Peter's talking about, then they won't make it. And that's how free enterprise works. That's how it works. Somehow Amazon's doing it.
You know, one of the things people think that there will be some changes, but let's take Barnes & Noble's, or in Canada we have Chapters. And you're right, very busy place. And when I look at those places, what I see is a community of like-minded people. And I still think there will be places like that, or a Starbucks. You know, you're not going to order your Starbucks online. Maybe you can. But sometimes people still need to be around people. We're still very tribal in a sense. And so there's still need for that. And also, you know, I do a lot of purchasing online as well, because I live in Northern Canada and in a smaller community. But there's nothing like going in and sometimes looking at a product, touching it, feeling it, understanding it, and things like that. But it creates community. And I think business and retail will be adapted to that and have to look to create a community. And not, you know, will the big box stores survive? I'm not sure. People, I think there's a shift in the market in that too, where people want to start looking at boutique, because when you walk in a boutique store or you're a steady customer there, there's a community in that store. You know, take a store that sells running shoes, and really, you know, we got a Walk Run & More store here. Well, all the runners and all the people into fitness and that, they go there. And when you go there, not only do you just go buy your product, but you're also talking to other people that you could talk training with, and like-minded, same place. So there will still be this need for gathering and sharing person-to-person knowledge. And, you know, Barnes & Noble, if you go in there, all like-minded people, they like to read, they like to learn, and everything else. So there's a real community that I find in stores like that.
Well, you know, you're right, Pete. I remember years ago reading an article, the guy had spent the night watching, this is when VCRs first came out, and he spent the night watching a movie because he came across it on TV. He said, why did I stay up late watching this thing when I have it on a VCR tape and can watch it anytime I want? And he realized, because you want to know that you're sharing that experience with other people. And the same thing could be said about hearing your favorite song on the radio. You know, most likely you have it on your iPod, but the fact that you're sharing it with others is remarkable, or at least adds value to it. And I think that's why live sports is generating so much money in advertising revenue, because it's one of the few things nowadays that you have to watch when other people are watching, because, you know, recording it and seeing it later is not as much fun. So I think that's why the NFL is now printing money, and live sports is doing so well, because that's really the only thing left where you don't know what the outcome is going to be, and you're watching it with other people.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at the Olympics, which are on right now, and I'm an avid fan of the Olympics, although I'm not in Brazil, which would be cool if I was, but I feel part of it, you know, and again, it's by engaging with that community. I could only imagine being there and what it would be like. We still need those things as human beings to be part of something. And one thing that media's do today is brings us a little bit closer to that. You know, you can go online and watch almost any of the Olympic sports at any time and everything else. But I think there's, although the world is changing, there's still that sense of community. And I hope people don't lose sight of that. You know, Amazon's got a good gig going and it's going well. But, and they do a great job. I've been very happy with them. But the fact is there a community that they're really building? And no. So how hard would it be for people to shift their buying habit and Amazon be wiped out overnight? Very easily.
Yep. Great point. Great stuff. Really great stuff. And I don't have any more questions. I don't know, Michael, if you do.
I think we covered everything. I think it was fascinating. And Pete, we certainly appreciate you sharing your insights with us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that book, to be frank with you, and I'm going to read it. I guarantee you that. And really? I think that will be very helpful, having got a chance to speak with you, Peter. It gives talk about, you know, being connected to the book. That gives it a whole new meaning, I think, you know.
Good. Well, thank you very much. It was good meeting you both, and have a great day.
Great.
Yeah. You guys both have a great day as well, and we'll meet again, I'm sure.
All right. Talk to you soon. Nice chatting with you.
Good chat with you as well.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Success Radio. If you or anyone you know would like to be interviewed for the show, email Tom at tom2tall.com for details.